This Fred and Jeff Show podcast is brought to you by Five Star Pest Control, Anthony's Cigar Emporium, and Arizona Party Rental.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure,
direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt, and I'm here with my little brother Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful, Jeffrey.
That is correct, Fred.
And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and you could even subscribe to this grand tome of wisdom on iTunes.
Or Beyond Pod for you Android users out there.
Yeah, for you five 70%
of you. 70% of the world.
Five people and mom use Android.
So what's going on in the old Pueblito?
You know, I am so proud of myself.
Oh, boy.
Because last week, after the show, I got a call from your little daughter.
Yes, you did. She was unhappy with her Uncle Freddie.
Yeah, and that means...
And I made sure she was listening.
Yeah, I figured you did.
Uh-huh.
But it made me so happy that goal achieved. Because the role of an uncle, as you well know...
Yes, I do.
...is to torment your niece and nephews.
That is correct.
And
I actually disagree with you, because the role of the uncle is to torment the brother and sister-in-law through the niece and nephew.
Oh, that's very true, because I remember the very first gift you got my son
was
some huge drum device.
That is correct. And a hammer that had a little horn in it. So every time he hit something, like 10,000 times.
Yeah, so we're...
Mission accomplished.
We are completely on par with each other on that. So, Mia... I really hope that those clowns are benefiting from your training, from your years of experience.
Mia, your Uncle Freddie does love you.
Yes, I do.
Though he shows it in strange ways.
That's right. Speaking of strange ways, not strange ways. Dude, we're still waiting on the Queen of the Evening.
Doesn't surprise me.
And I'm hoping,
Do you think she'll stand us up this year?
No, she will not. But I'm hoping that in 2 days' time... The fragrance of the Night Blooming Cirrus over at...
Fuegrant?
The fragrance.
So you're going to do your Elmer Fudd?
So the fragrance of the Queen of the Evening will be filling the air of Tehonochul Park, hopefully...
Actually, all over Tucson. There's Night Blooming Cirrus all over the place.
Yeah, but there's the biggest concentration is at Tehonochul.
Very true.
And also, we should mention your buddy... I can't remember his name, who owns the Garden Bistro at Tehonochul.
Jason Hardenbach.
Yeah, Jason. That night when the Night Blooming Cirrus blooms, the Garden Bistro will be open as well. So go to tehonochulpark.org, sign up for the Bloom Notice, the Bloom Watch newsletter, because when it happens, it's going to happen immediately, and you'll have to clear the calendar to get up there and enjoy one of the spectacular events of the Sonoran Desert.
Right.
Also in the gardens, but this is a different garden. The Tucson Botanical Gardens has their third Thursdays, a visual and vocal brew going on. So on June 20th, July 18th, August 15th, and September 19th, live music and artist receptions at the Tucson Botanical Gardens. Go to tucsonbotanical.org. to find out more specifics, or to fredandjeff.com, because we have that stuff posted in the events button. It's 5 to 8 p.m. on those Thursday nights, and it's only $9. The last thing that I have, Jeffrey, aside from telling people to go to fredandjeff.com and click on the events button to figure out what's going on in Tucson, is we got notice this week or during the week.
Uh-oh, we got notice?
Notice. It is now mesquite pod harvest time.
There you go.
So if you want to know about harvesting your mesquite pods and what to do with them afterwards, check out, let's see, what is it? It's,
That pre-show prep is paying off now, isn't it?
No, it's, I should highlight these things.
Yeah, you should.
So it's desertharvesters.org.
Right.
And actually, if you go sign up for the newsletter, they send you stuff out or send stuff out to you. But once you collect those pods and let them dry, they'll have the hammer mill out and they'll have community events where there's lots of food.
Mesquite,
made with,
pancakes.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah, good times.
Yeah, so that is a good time. And
you know what? We missed you last week at the Arizona Symphonic Winds at Udall Park last Sunday. Their last show was last Sunday.
Oh.
Fantastic.
You did send me the clip of them playing the Star Trek music.
Star Trek. And also, Laszlo Varsh, a friend of the show, he led about 30
Zumba
kids.
Zumba master.
That's right. He led about 30 kids conduct the orchestra. It was fantastic. Well, great time.
Did they do a good job?
Yeah, they did a fabulous job. Not as good as the Zumba master, but they did a great job.
You know, I think Zumba actually has enhanced his conducting skills.
Well, I think he said he was turning 75 this year.
Wow.
75 years young. He's still doing a fantastic job. And he was kind of angling for someone to build him a band shell out there, too, because acoustically it would be so much better. But I got to tell you, it was fantastic. They did a great job.
It would be nice to have a little shell out there.
Mm-hmm. At the Laszlo Varsh area there at Udall Park. It was really nice. Really nice.
Very cool.
So what are the fun things you like to do now that it is 9,006 degrees here in the Old Pueblo, Fred?
You know, I love hanging out outside because I just love to eat.
Have you got a new Speedo this year for when you're hanging out?
I don't wear Speedos, my brother.
Oh,
my
good.
Dear brother. I have.
We got to change that up. We got to throw a towel on you or something.
You know, it's interesting because I've been doing Bikram. I finished the Bikram challenge a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And still,
are you still doing it?
I'm still doing it.
All right.
But the fun thing is, it's now cooler inside the hot box yoga room than it is outside.
Holy mackerel! It's hot.
So it's sort of like, you know, having a little vacation from the heat. But I got to tell you, I am a complete desert rat. I love sitting on the patio with a cigar, maybe a little tequila, and enjoying our Sonoran heat.
Yeah, this is what they call the dry summer. Before the wet summer, it's the dry summer. You know, we have five seasons in the Sonoran Desert.
Yeah, you know, you told me that, and it makes a lot of sense. And whoever told you that should come on the air.
What are you talking about? I just told you that.
No, because one of our guests was talking about that.
Uh-huh.
And we should have them on the air so they can describe that a little bit better.
The five seasons of the Sonoran Desert?
That's right.
Yeah.
That'd be a fun show.
That would be fun. But instead of that show, we've got a pretty darn good show today.
We always have a good show.
Yeah. So not much more on the community calendar. A lot of stuff going on at the Loft.
Oh, yeah. Well, Happy Tuesdays at the Loft.
That's right.
I think this Tuesday will be Henry Barajas and viral video. So he's got a local community celebrity, and I don't know who it is at the top of my head, and they come in and they show their favorite viral videos.
That'll be fun. At the Loft.
At the Loft, and that's 9 o'clock back in the patio. But, you know, the Loft is still working on their digital conversion for the theater. All sorts of stuff going on there.
Oh, I got a great story. So I took Mia, daddy-daughter date, and we went to the Loft, and we saw one of the
Kurosawa.
Well, yeah, one of the Kurosawa movies, Studio Ghibli movies, this last week. And just because I was so excited to take Mia on a date, we went and had something to eat, went to the Loft, got some popcorn. Mia got a fruit roll, big bottle of water. We went into the theater, and the movie starts, and it was all subtitled. And Mia looked, my daughter, folks, she's 10. She looks at me and she goes, "Dad, am I going to have to read all the words of this movie because it's in Chinese?" He said, "Well, no, first and foremost, Mia, it's not in Chinese. It's in Japanese. And secondly, yes." And she's like, "Oh." But at the end, she really, really, really enjoyed it.
Well, that's a nice little exposure. A nice exposure for her.
Yes, it was
because they show a lot of subtitled movies at the Loft.
And the downside of the whole experience is we weren't there early enough to sit in the couches.
Oh.
The couches are key. When you go to the Loft, you've got all those couches you can see.
Well,
sit
the upstairs theater, yeah.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
That is fun.
A lot of fun. A lot of people at the Loft.
And given that it is summer, there are a lot of good indoor, I mean, not just the commercial theaters, but we have.
Well, you got to look at all the stuff going on at the Fox, at the screening
Fox,
room.
Yeah,
the new restaurants downtown. As a matter of fact, we went to Diablo Burger last Tuesday. Yikes. Outstanding. Outstanding place to go and have dinner. So there's so much fun stuff going on
what
in the Pueblo.
The Science Sundays going on at the Children's Museum Tucson?
That's right.
So again, go to fredandjeff.com, and all this stuff is listed out for you, along with friends of the show. So everyone that we've had on the show, there's a link to their websites, and there's stuff going on just all
Farmers
the time.
Farmers markets to movies, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, folks, so we're going to take our first break. We're going to be back with some awesome people that make the Old Pueblo a great place to live. So stick around for more here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contractors, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and the Downtown Tucson Partnership.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And we're back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful. And we invite you to visit us at FredandJeff.com. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook because we need validation. And subscribe to this program off of iTunes. Now, Jeffrey.
Federico.
You know, some folks think that the fundraising gala season is over.
What?
Now that it's gotten a little bit warm.
Not true, Fred. There's always someone out there that needs a little bit of help.
That's right. And in studio with us today are the folks from the Tucson Arts Brigade. And should we introduce both of them and just put them both on the spot?
Well, I don't know. Robin Fraser didn't really want us to talk to her today in the studio.
Yeah.
She went out of her way to say, I don't want to be on the radio.
So you know what that means.
Is that right, Robin?
That is correct.
Robin Fraser, ladies and gentlemen.
So, but also with us is Jody Netzer.
Who howdy,
is
howdy.
Now, you were telling us you were the dance maven. For the Tucson Arts Brigade?
Well, I wear many hats and many feathers in those hats. So I am the director of the Dance Theater Program. I'm the director of marketing and outreach. And I happen to be the director of the Water Festival.
Okay, now wait a minute. For those of our listeners, all mom and a couple of her friends,
yeah,
that don't know what the Tucson Arts Brigade is, share with us what the Tucson Arts Brigade is.
Absolutely. Be happy to. So Tucson Arts Brigade has actually been around since 1996, and what we do is that we work in schools and neighborhoods and facilitate dialogue about community issues such as graffiti, bullying, sustainable design, and revitalizing neighborhoods, and we offer arts-based solutions to those community issues. And we take in kids who are on probation, for example. We look at the whole problem.
Now, when you say you take these kids in, what does that mean?
So we get referred, basically, if they're on probation, and even if they're not. So we...
You house them, or...?
Well, we bring them into our programs.
Okay, gotcha.
So we do murals, for example. Lots of murals, actually. That is absolutely the largest program area that we have in our organization. And so basically, a neighborhood says, hey, we identify a problem, say, tagging. And that's all over Tucson,
sure.
Right? So basically, we work with the neighborhood association, or if they want to develop their neighborhood association, we pull in various people from the communities, the schools, local businesses. We bring everybody together, and we promote stewardship. We have civic dialogue, and we get to the heart of the problem.
Now, when you say, is there a difference between civic dialogue and civil dialogue? That's a joke.
Possibly, yes.
You hope that the civic dialogue is civil dialogue.
Is civil dialogue, right.
Absolutely. And that's what we do, basically. So we have facilitation skills, as well as we teach the kids and adults proper art making, getting permission on the walls. We do intergenerational and cross-cultural work so that kids have mentors. And basically, if a kid has an issue in other areas of their lives, we'll refer them to social services as needed. We help the kids get their GEDs.
Wow, good for you guys.
All of this, all through the arts. The arts are a gateway, and the arts inspire. It is self-expression. It reaches the heart center where change is made possible.
Well, you know what's interesting? A lot of people refer to the Fred and Jeff Show as art.
It is.
Yeah, Jeff
performance
does.
Art.
Jeffrey does.
No, that's, you know what, that's very, very cool. How did you get involved with this organization?
Well, I used to live in Philadelphia, and my partner and executive director, Michael Schwartz, had brought me out to Tucson, and ever since 4 years ago, I've been with the organization.
So were you born in Philly?
No, but I feel I grew up there. You know, I went to college there, Drexel University, and I'm just one of those people who loves to do so much, and I had almost a triple major in graphic design, film and video, and performing arts, and still doing all of that today.
Awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
So you don't have a problem finding the kids that need your help?
Oh, I have to tell you, we in our organization have had over 90 project requests in the last 2 years. What other organization has that many?
That's,
I mean, there is such a high demand for our services, and that is why we need to do this fundraiser event, which we'll talk about.
Yeah,
let
me get back to my question.
Uh-huh.
You don't have a problem finding kids that need help?
Not at all.
Do you have a problem finding mentors to help those kids?
We have that too, but we could always use more. However, really, it's the resources that is what we need
you
help
You need
finding.
Some money to help your program.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So you've got plenty of mentors. You've got plenty of need.
Yeah, and we could use some more volunteers as well.
Okay,
sure.
So if someone wanted to help you guys to volunteer for your organization, how would they do that?
They should contact us. And we have a website, www.TucsonArtsBrigade.org.
Awesome.
Or they can call us at 520-623-2119.
Okay, now let's get to the heart of the interview.
Yes.
What is it that you guys are doing to generate some revenue to pay for these great programs that you guys are doing?
Absolutely. Well, we have a fantabulous event coming up next Tuesday on June 18th.
Wait a minute. June 18th?
Yes.
You know why that's such a huge day in the lives of Fred and Jeff?
Tell me.
It's Paul McCartney's birthday.
Not
wow.
Well, it could be. I don't know about that. But it's Fred's birthday.
All right, party. So if you come, we'll do a special song and dance for you.
And guess how old he's going to be?
Oh, 50, the big 50.
So can you guys do the Hawaii 50 theme for him?
Oh, absolutely. Just
there
for
you
him.
Go. There you go. All right. So you're having a big event next Tuesday, June 18th.
Big event. Yes, 5 to 10 p.m. It's at La Cocina at Old Town Artisans. And that is located at 201 North Court Avenue.
Downtown.
Downtown, yeah.
And what
Tucson
fun
Museum
things,
of Art.
Absolutely. What fun things are you guys going to be doing?
Well, we have an all-you-can-eat buffet. We have raffles and lots of music from classical to Afro-Cuban, bluegrass, folk, funk.
Nice.
And we have a art show for silent auction featuring over 40 artists. And we have Marilyn Monroe as a special guest and some performance art.
Do you think part of that performance art and Marilyn Monroe could sing Happy Birthday to Fred?
Absolutely.
I want the JFK version.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
All right. I love it.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So it starts what time?
It starts at 5 p.m., goes till 10 p.m. There's a cash bar, too, so liquor up. And
just kidding.
Exactly.
<Not really.
laughs> Oh, and we have a very, very special prize to the top donor. And we hope everybody can come there. If you happen not to, we'll shame you. But other than that, you can call in and or donate online, and you will be eligible for that prize.
And what is that prize?
You get your name in the stars. So we'll name a star in the sky after you or whatever name you'd like.
All right. And what are you thinking your top donor might donate? $1 million.
I hope a lot of money.
Dollars.
Goodness. I tell you, we have over 90 programs to fund. Yeah. And I just want to mention, too, we have 100% success rate in workforce development for youth, meaning that they go on to take on jobs or go into higher education, especially in the arts.
That's fantastic.
We are highly, highly successful.
So how can folks get more information on who you guys are?
again, go to the website, and it's www.tucsonartsbrigade.org, or give us a call, 520-623-2119. And since we are sometimes on the field, we're not always at the office, definitely leave a message if we're not there, and we'll return your call for
awesome,
sure.
Awesome.
And come to the event, June 18th.
Yeah, next Tuesday.
5 to 10 p.m., La Cocina, Old Town Artisans, 201 North Court Avenue.
Awesome.
And I'm emceeing, so.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
You're going to do a great job.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Robin, anything to add?
Just hope everyone comes out for a fun night. It's going to be great music and great food.
Awesome.
And great art.
Well,
yes.
Thank you guys so much for what you do.
Absolutely.
You definitely make Tucson a better place to live.
Thank
we
you.
Really appreciate
yes.
you
Yes. And we have tons of great artists featured at the event, too. So from professional to emerging. So definitely come out and support them as well.
Awesome. All right, folks. Get to that website. We'll put a link on the Fred and Jeff Show website to it, too. And we're at the bottom of the hour. So we've got to take a quick break. Pay the bills, and we'll be back with more here on The Fred and Jeff Show. The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Garden Service, Mayfield Florist, and Arizona Party Rental.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And we're back. This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And he's been dancing all the way through the break because there's so much cool music coming up at the Tucson Arts Brigade fundraiser this coming Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, God. They got the Greg Morton Band, Baba Kassan and Friends featuring Bubba. That'll be a good one. Stuart hey, Oliver, the Desert Angels.
Doesn't Bubba owe you 20 bucks?
You owe me 20 bucks. So, folks, don't forget to support those guys. The Tucson Arts Brigade, what they're doing is invaluable to the community. And I believe they said that everywhere they go in, tagging goes down to zero.
Yeah, they have
zero.
I mean, it's not anecdotal. It's like they have trends.
They see the police reports.
Police reports.
Or the lack thereof.
Well, no, they have police reports.
Do they tell us about it, Fred? We know you're very familiar.
Yeah, well, I'm usually riding in the back of the patrol car.
Oh, whatever.
As opposed to the front.
Handcuffed.
But, yeah.
Crying.
No, not crying. Just cursing. Cursing like a sailor.
Here we go. Welcome to the Fred and Jeff Show, where you're learning more about Fred than you ever thought possible.
So this is a topic near and dear to our heart and our family's heart, because we've been here a while and seen things come and go.
Well, to a lot of people in Tucson.
Well, yeah, certainly. And
this would probably fit under the history part of the Fred and Jeffrey. If you were going to catalog all of our guests, you'd probably this under history.
The people, the places, the events, history, and culture. I would think it hits culture.
Yeah,
history.
Yeah.
And people.
Yeah.
And places.
Yeah.
The only thing is, it's not an event. Although,
so this is a...
Maybe there might be an... No, there are events. We just had one a few weeks back, or about a month back, down in Barrio Viejo. So, in studio with us, this covers the whole spectrum, Jeffrey, is Damian Klinko.
Yahtzee!
Is Damian Klinko, who, you know, I didn't ask you before this. There's actually an organization that you sort of... Mastermind?
Yeah, I have the real pleasure of serving as the president of the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. And the Preservation Foundation was established in the 1980s to help protect and preserve Tucson's unique cultural resources. And by the mid-90s, the organization had gone dormant. So about 5 years ago, I was asked to help sort of relaunch and reorganize the organization. And it's been a real fun. It's been a real fun number of years, and we've really, I think, achieved a lot in sort of shifting our community's focus and sort of articulating the value of why we'd want to preserve the places that are unique to Tucson.
And why would we want to do that, Damian?
Well, for me, it's really about economics. You know, I think if we're going to try to attract the creative class and retain the millennials, which is the millennium generation in our city, we really need to cultivate a place that has a strong sense of identity. If we're just or become anywhere USA, then we will lose a really key and dynamic competitive edge. And when we're competing with cities around the country that all have similar demographics and similar sizes, and we're trying to attract corporations here, corporations are looking for places that have a high quality of life for their employees. And that comes with arts and culture and a place where the creative class call home. So it's really, really key to, I believe, to our city's economic future.
Very good.
So, Damien, before we get any further into this, because this is, I mean, I know there's going to be some great stuff coming down the line. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, I was joking earlier with you that I've met your clown sister.
Yes.
Yikes.
No, she's a clown. Literally. No, I met her over at Valley of the Moon, and she was sort of volunteering to, you know, get some stuff done over there. And she's a really sweet girl. And at the time we were talking about your efforts to secure a national historic designation for Valley of the Moon. And you were out of state at the time, but give us a little bit of history about who you are and your family here.
Well, so my parents hailed from Los Angeles and Manhattan, and they moved here in the mid-1970s, and they decided to stay in Tucson. And so I was born here along with my sister, raised in Tucson. And I remembered all I wanted to do was leave through high school. It was like, leave Tucson and never come back.
And why was that?
I think, you know, maybe it's the heat. Maybe it's that sort of small town environment.
Mentality.
Right. And so I went to school in Los Angeles, went to college in California, and then I moved to Europe, for a number of years and did a master's program. And I was going to move back to Los Angeles, and I stopped in Tucson, and I was really sort of surprised how much I liked it here. And at the same time, I was really shocked at how we weren't valuing our cultural heritage. You know, having lived in Los Angeles, I lived in a small town called Eagle Rock, where Occidental College is located, and it's right between Glendale and Pasadena. And these two communities really valued their cultural heritage in very different ways. And Pasadena really identified historic preservation as a key to economic redevelopment, and it was incredibly successful. And Glendale followed like a new urbanist model, where they tore down a number of buildings and sort of built sort of the impression of a streetscape. And it didn't have the same resonance or vitality that the Pasadena model had. And in Europe, it's really about celebrating and cultivating a sense of place. And we traveled there because we want to experience art and culture and architecture.
And
so I came back to Tucson, and I was really shocked that we were tearing down buildings downtown, that these types of cultural resources weren't being leveraged and valued to be able to trigger economic reinvestment in our community. And we were just sort of wiping it away, clearing a slate for something better and something new.
But do you think a lot of what happened well in Pasadena has to do with maybe Pasadena's population isn't...
Absolutely. I use Pasadena and Glendale as just two sort of models because they happen to be next door to each other, and I watch the transformation. But good urban policy works, and we can see it in our own city. You know, we have five preservation zones in the city of Tucson: Armory Park, Barrio Viejo, El Presidio, West University, and Fort Lowell. I don't think I repeated.
That's
five. And the four urban ones were 30 years ago really rough neighborhoods. I mean, I went to kindergarten in West University, and we would walk from the school, which occupied an old house, to the park, and we walked by burnt out houses and, you know, empty lots, and it was really rugged. But good urban policy, those preservation zones have resulted in huge economic investment, millions and millions of dollars of private sector investment into our historic core. And those are now five of the most desirable places to live in our urban center. So, you know, although, you know, Pasadena, yes, is a much wealthier community, and Tucson really is a very poor community, if we say these are values that matter, you know, it raises all ships, and it makes it a place that people are proud of. And, you know,
and that's what we want.
That's what we want.
And so how do you spread that word? How do you get a community that is sorely lacking in resources to allocate resources to something that most people, they can't wrap their head around it?
Well, part of it is part of it is that 30, 40 years of strong historic preservation policy in this country has really helped to create a number of incentives. both locally and nationally to help with historic preservation projects. Commercial properties under certain circumstances can get 20% rehabilitation tax credits into the rehabilitation of their project. There's also reductions in property tax evaluations. And so there are these incentives for the private sector. And I think we need to do as a community to do a better job of educating developers and the private sector about how to really take advantage of those tools. But at the same time, we've seen great successes and the use of those types of tools and incentives to transform our community. Most recently, the Chicago Music Store is a great example of a real private-public sector partnership, where the Preservation Foundation, we stepped in, we worked with the owners to do a tile workshop. We brought a tile expert who led a workshop, and we had 30 members people came from all over the country, from as far away as Austin and Portland, to attend the workshop, and we rehabbed all of the tiles on the front of the building. And then the Chicago store worked with the Downtown Tucson Partnership through a matching grant to find the funding to rehabilitate that building. And now it's really become a gem on Congress Street.
Absolutely.
And how quickly that can happen. I mean, it really was we talked about it for years and years and years, and finally it just took sort of the right time and the right moment for alignment to occur, and suddenly within a year the building was rehabbed.
That's an interesting point, because alignment doesn't seem to occur that often.
And when it does, so many people have heartache about it until it happens, and you're like, oh yeah, we're on board with that. I mean, it just seems to be so difficult.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I think is most frustrating, is there are people who want to get stuff done, and it always seems, you know, there's some major obstacle that hammers these things out of the way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the tradition of Tucson, sort of this obstructionist, like, say no mentality. But I think it also gives us moments and time to sort of reflect on these projects. And so when they do happen and alignment does happen, I think it is tremendously more successful. And I think that we now have a track record, really, in downtown of projects that the community was really skeptical of, but it has really helped transform the downtown scape.
All right. We want to talk more about those projects when we come back. So, folks, stick around. We're going to take our last break here, and we're coming back with lots of more fun stuff here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
We are the Village Green Preservation Society. God save the holder. Bonneville and Variety. We are the Desperate Dan Appreciation Society. God save strawberry jam and all the different varieties. Serving the old ways from being abused. Protecting the new ways for me and for you. What more can we do? We are the Draft Beer Preservation Society.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Woman Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and 1702 Craft Beer and Pizza.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother Jeff.
Hola, everybody out there.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful, Jeffrey.
That's right, Fred.
And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. And we are talking about all of the topics we love talking about, the people, the places, events, history, and culture, with Damian Klinko, local preservationist and all-around good guy. We were talking during the break about how do we sort of cash in on the success of something like the Chicago store and get some momentum going for other projects, not only in the downtown, but, you know, there are significant historical assets throughout the community.
So the organization that help run is the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation, and you can visit us at preservetucson.org.
Nice, that's an easy one to remember.
And our organization, we really think of ourselves as catalysts. So we'll take on a project, and we won't say, oh, we need to raise $3.5 million to help rehabilitate this building, but we'll try to bring help bring together all the partners to help make something like a large scale project happen. And we can bring assets and resources that that the property owner or that a private sector developer or that the city government won't necessarily bring to the table, or and we'll help bring everybody to bring everybody together. So
now, what kind of resources, Damien?
Well, our organization bring expertise, but we can also help with national register nominations to help
you
create historic tax credits.
Is what you're telling me?
Well, I mean,
you know the people that know the people.
Well, we know a lot of people in the community, and really the success of our organization is based on partnership. I mean, we don't operate in a vacuum. We have to do it with a tremendous amount of partners, whether it's the Downtown Tucson Partnership or whether it's Pima Community College or whether it's the City of Tucson or whether it's private sector developers or investors. I mean, we have a broad range of partners who help us take preservation and put it at the forefront. So some of the successful projects that we've done, and we can sort of run through a few of things we're working on and things that we've successfully done. And a great example would be something we finished about a year ago, but we really identified neon signs in the Oracle area, Miracle Mile, Oracle, Drachman, as an important part of the community and something that was really declining.
So you're talking about all the motor inns, the
old gas stations and motels that sort of line the old highway that
the
ran
old Miracle
through
Mile.
Old Miracle Highway, which was Route 80 and 89, that really were the cross country highways before the interstate. And at its height in Tucson, there were over 100 motels along that corridor. And it really declined starting in the late 1960s, and it really became synonymous with very nefarious activity. Miracle Mile had a very bad reputation.
What?
I didn't know that.
Oh. I didn't either.
Well, maybe I'm ill-informed.
No.
Very nefarious.
The no-tell motel.
The no-tell motel.
Yeah, everything that's down there was
particularly
nefarious.
Yeah, nefarious.
Hourly rates, right?
Hourly rates.
Gotcha.
Or the Wawa bed. So the City of Tucson created a community-based initiative called the Oracle Area Revitalization Planning Project to bring together community stakeholders to really try to identify ways of reinvesting into the area, and preservation was identified as a principal theme, focusing on Americana. So the Preservation Foundation said, well, what could we do that could really help make an impact into this area? And so we said, well, what about doing something with neon signs? And a number of neon signs in the community had been torn down in the last decade, and people had saved them. And they were torn down because of old urban policy related to signs. The sign code was really antiquated, and it didn't provide any sort of provision for historic preservation. And so most of these old signs were illegal, and if you took them down to repair them, you couldn't put them back. And if the use of your business changed, they had to come down. And so we saw through time and changing, huge amounts of these signs taken down.
And it's amazing that these folks kept these signs.
It's amazing. And it's amazing that when they came down, people got trucks and friends and loaded them. I mean, these are huge, heavy, large signs. I mean, 10 by 10, they might weigh 2,000 pounds. It takes 8 people to move them. But people got them onto trucks. They put them in their yards. And we found 4 of them, and so we said, well, let's find out what it would take to get some of these signs restored. And so we raised money from the community. We had incredible private sector partners, including Cooking Company Signs and Addis Signs, and we partnered with Pima Community College to install them on the downtown campus along the old highway alignment.
And it's amazing. It's a great little stretch of road. At night, specifically, when you're driving down there and you take the left, and there are all these very cool old signs. And did you guys have anything to do with rehabbing the girl jumping into the pool?
Well,
part of
what we did was we said, well, just restoring some signs and putting them up, that's a great thing to do.
It's fun,
but
yeah.
Really what's great is to be able to change the sign code so that we can open the door for private property owners to actually do this for their signs and create incentives that don't penalize people who are interested in preserving these types of resources.
And
we were successful in doing that.
Awesome.
It was a huge initiative. It took 2 years to get the sign code changed.
Question.
Yes.
What was the biggest obstacle to getting it to change?
I think it was, our community in the late 1960s, there was an article in Life magazine where the mayor of Tucson said that Speedway was the ugliest street in America. And this article was specifically about signage. And about large signage.
Mm.
And so this article in particular triggered a sort of a movement in our community to declutter our streets. And so for 40 years, there was this initiative to remove these signs. And so we really had sort of this strong ethic of saying we don't want any sort of signage, large signage, on our arterials and in our community. And so it really sort of took it took sort of educating the constituency and this community and mayor and council about why these neon signs, why an old chunk of metal rusting on a post could have value. And looking at other examples around the country of what really has worked and how it's been really successful and how it's attracted tourists and how it helps revitalize a whole area. And what's so incredible about the Oracle area, not only have there been incredible private sector partners who have restored their signs, but properties like the Monterey Court have emerged, which was a dilapidated motel that was in ready to be torn down, and some private developers stepped in, and now it's an arts and entertainment venue. And
it's very cool.
And it's very cool. So check it out. It's on Miracle Mile and Oracle.
Yeah, yeah.
So that
we've got the big Saguaro down
the
there.
Arnold. Yes, Dirk Arnold, who was an artist, was commissioned to design a piece of public art, which is the neon Saguaro that welcomes visitors to the old Miracle Mile area.
So all this collateral upside happened because we saved some rusty old signs.
Because we said neon signs are something that maybe matter in our city.
And so what else? That's a great success story. What else have you guys been able to do?
So this summer we've actually been working on two big projects. One is we're working with a private property owner to preserve the Maynard Dixon House. So Maynard Dixon was one of the great painters of the American Southwest. He actually was hired. It was his first public commission in 1906 to paint four murals for the train depot in downtown Tucson. So he came to Tucson very early in the early 20th century. Those murals are actually owned by the Arizona Historical Society now. And in 1939, he came to Tucson, and in 1941, he traded a painting for some land from the Ronstadt family. And
swindled again. No, I don't think.
I think you did well. So traded, and then he traded a painting to the contractor and built this wonderful Pueblo Revival home in Midtown near Prince and Tucson Boulevard. And he painted some of his great last work there, and he died in that house. And it was the only house he really commissioned, that he really had a hand in designing, and it's the only property associated with Maynard Dixon in Arizona.
And where is the property?
So it's near Tucson Boulevard and Prince, it's just really a wonderful property. So we've been working with the property owners to develop a historic preservation and conservation easement to ensure that that house is protected by law into the future. And we're working with the city of Tucson to get it designated as a local landmark, which will additionally adds an additional layer of protection. And we're working to get it listed on the National Register. So this is an example of where we said this is a property that really tells an incredible story about our cultural values, and what can we do to make sure that it's protected so that in 10 years we're not trying to, you know, fight somebody to try to save something. So we try to be really proactive in our approach in educating the community about the type of resources that people don't even know we have.
So let me ask you a question. What does doing all of that stuff, how will that benefit that piece of property?
So it will certainly.
And specifically, you guys are lucky enough, or you get it done, because I'm sure you will. You put that piece of property on the National Historic Registry. Mm-hmm. What will that do? What does that mean?
So the National Register is non-regulatory. So this is a big misnomer. Everybody thinks, oh, listing it on the National Register protects it. That is false. The National Register provides. Sort of a designation of a property and sort of says this is important to the cultural value of this country. If federal funding is being used on a project, then it triggers a formal review process. But if no federal funds are being used or it's privately owned, there's no protection. So a private property owner could say, oh, this house is on the National Register, but, you know, I need to make way for a new development, and they could demolish it. It does, however, provide significant property tax reductions to property owners of listed buildings. So if you are the owner and you are owner-occupied, you can get up to 45% off your property taxes if you agree to maintain the exterior of your property. And there's a public good in that exchange. So you think about the neighborhoods that are, again, some of the most beautiful in our city, Armory Park or West University. You know, there are no walls. There are no, even in Sam Hughes, limitation of walls. The houses are well maintained, and that's because of these agreements that help keep that sense of place.
Visible to the public.
Visible to the public. It has to be a public good.
That's awesome.
So that in and of itself doesn't regulate, but an easement and a local designation actually has regulatory ability. So that will will really protect and ensure that those that a property that has an easement or is locally designated really can be protected in perpetuity.
How many of these assets that are currently unprotected are still in existence around Tucson?
Well, so the city of Tucson has the 5 historic preservation zones.
Right.
So, again, we don't have to run through those again. But in addition, there are the opportunity to create local landmarks, historic landmarks. There hasn't been a new historic landmark created in 20 years. The ordinance, the policy in the Unified Development Code was really sort of antiquated and very confusing. And so we've used this property and a property like Valley of the Moon to work with the city and say, listen, we really need to clean up this policy. And so we've been working with the city of Tucson to create a streamlined, clearer language to make these sort of designations possible. So there are only 5 local landmarks in the city of Tucson, which are the water tower at Elcon.
Very cool.
The
old prospector and his mule.
Yes, the El Teredito Shrine in Barrio Viejo, the San Pedro Chapel near Fort Lowell, and the Cannon Douglas and Smith House, which are the 2 little houses in front of Eller College on Speedway,
right
across from the architecture school.
Okay.
And in one of those houses, dendrochronology was invented. So they have sort of interesting historic significance.
That's awesome. We could go on and on and
we
on.
Could, yes.
And we have a minute left.
Yes.
So one more time, people want to get more information on what you guys are up to. What's your website?
Yeah, it's preservetucson.org. We offer walking tours, events throughout the year. We have workshops and all sorts of wonderful activities and great resources to find out about preserving your historic property in the city, because there are hundreds of properties not protected.
It's a great website to bookmark because you guys have stuff going on all the time.
All the time.
Thanks for what you do for our community. You really make Tucson a great place to live, so thanks for all your hard work.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And folks, another Fred and Jeff show in the books.
Yeah, we need to give out some roses.
Go for it, Freddie.
Our friends at Mayfield Florists love giving our listeners a dozen roses. So the first person who emails me at fred@fredandjeff.com. And
they wish you a happy birthday.
They can wish me a happy birthday.
Wish old Fred a happy 50th birthday at fred@fredandjeff.com and get yourself some roses. And we might, and birthday wish number 2, $25 to 1702 Craft Brew and Pizza. So, folks, have a great week. We'll see you here next week for more on The Fred and Jeff Show.
So I jumped on the fence and yelled at the house, "Hey, what gives you?"